Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Apparently. Oh,
Jesus Whoa. Christ.
It just... They'll take boys out, them bastards.
Popped a bloody beer bottle.
That was a beer bottle. Yeah. All right, so welcome to Remedial Radio. I'm Lint Gannon.
I'm Matt.
And we're here today with Australiana Al.
How's it going?
How's it going, mate?
Good, boys. Good. How are you?
You have to go right up in there. You can sit back and just chill.
Think of it like, All right, so, yeah, so basically we're, yeah, I don't know, how do we start this off? Where can we see you busking? We know you busk a lot.
I get around a few different places. You'll catch me at Coles Sam Rima. You'll catch me at Coles Budgie Woy. Down at Wadalba, maybe at Lizaro. You'll probably catch me. I was going to the entrance farmers markets on the first and third Saturday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
They've moved that now to Wyong Racecourse, and I haven't been down there yet, but I'll be going down there and have a bit of a go.
I did hear that on the radio. There was a bit of promo for that, so awesome. So you're going to be going to that one down at Gosford as well?
Yeah. Yep. Maybe. I try and stick around here.
Feel it out. See how
but
it goes.
I've got to merge out.
Yeah. What's the best? Where do you get the best reception?
Maybe at the moment, yeah. Coles Wadalba.
Coles Wadalba
at the moment. Yeah, there's, and I get a good reception out of Coles Budgie Woy. The little kids come up and putting the money in, you know, and then they're dancing to the songs, and their mums are there all happy. I've got a certain couple of kids that turn up, they got all these frizzy hair. Every time they come, they put a couple of bob in, and I play them the Driver's Dream. And they sit there, and the mum has to stay there, and they have to sit there and dance to it all and everything.
Oh, that's great.
It gives me a buzz watching everyone get enjoyment out of music, you know.
So would that be your favourite crowd to play to?
Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So when take us back to when you started. Like, what started you off in music?
Well, mate, I always loved music. Like, my dad always listened to the radio in the mornings. Like, the radio was always on in the mornings when I used to wake up and that. And like, when I started, getting into the puberty age, it sort of came more what would you say, more sort of to me then.
Yep.
Like, I think I was 9, 10 when the Beatles, 64, 9, when the Beatles come to Australia. Now, I wasn't going to school until the Beatles got off the plane and they walked in and everything. And then my dad took me to school at 10:30 in the morning or something. It was raining that day. If you just remember when the Beatles came.
No, I remember the day like it was yesterday. Was your old man a Beatles fan as well? Is that
what? He liked Elvis. He liked music. Yeah, he liked all music. You know, he had it on 2UW back in Sydney. You know, and they played all the new stuff, all the good stuff. Yeah, he was into it. But then my mum, when I was 13, hassled me mum to get a guitar, so she took me into Rogers Music at Fairfield. I bought a guitar. I've still got it. It's not playable.
Wow, it's still got it.
You still got it.
It's not.
I don't have my first guitar.
Yeah, I have no idea where my first guitar is.
And I've still got it, mate. I'm a bit of a hoarder. It started off then, but I didn't. It's only 2.5 years ago I got into it. I mean, I spent all the time up till 2.5 years ago playing half songs and putting the guitar down.
Yeah,
leaving
right.
it there for a few years, picking it back up, having a bit of it, leaving it there. I started going to open mics probably about 4 years ago, and I was watching people getting up there and play, And I thought to myself, well, I think it's time to get that guitar back out and have a bit of a go. So I got the guitar out and just played. There was a couple of songs I knew all the way through just about, so I brushed them up and had a go. I went to Kate's place. She had a thing at her place. And I got
Who's Kate?
Yeah, who's Kate?
Kate Kieran does the open mic at Long Jetty every second week, and Cachet does it the other week.
What night?
I met Kate.
And that's on a Sunday afternoon between 1 and 5.
Okay. Yeah,
well, every Sunday afternoon.
Well, pop down there if you get a chance, everyone listening.
Yeah, if anyone can pop out there. Like, there's some really good musos out there, and there's musos that'll get up with you and play, so... It might be just you up there. There could be
four of you up there. Less professional, more communal kind of music.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a jam.
Bit of a jam at the pub. Sounds pretty
good.
Yeah.
I like that.
So, yeah, going back, so you never took it seriously until... No, not
until 2.5 years ago. And then once I got up at Kate's and then, I mean, I got up, I did that. I practiced a couple of songs, which were very bad habits with them. All these songs that I'm doing now that I'm learning are all the old songs I knew all that time ago. I only did half off. I'm finishing them off. But there's some bad habits I developed with the songs, like chord changes and...
Making it lazy, vocal, making it easy, yeah.
Vocal I've got not all being the bad right. Habits, yeah. So I have to revise them all and listen to them and get them the way they're supposed to be. And it's very hard to get out of a bad habit.
Do you ever have the thought of just going with it? You know, like that's your way? That's the way
just
you do it?
Just go with it, mate. I'm just going with it. I'm not out there to push anything. I'm not out there to... I'm just going with it. Like, I started the open mic. I got up there. I got a few more songs. People like the Australiana.
I only met you a couple of weeks ago at the Beachcomber gig.
Yeah.
You did the open mic thing. As soon as you started playing, I loved it.
Well, the first one was Paul Nett, I did by Red Gum. I think it was 1985. And like, everyone loved it. Everyone's saying, do Paul Nett, Paul Nett. And then I used to do The Draver's Dream, but it has about 5 or 6 verses, and it's long as anything.
It's a bit long-winded.
Yeah, but I do it now, and that's the next one. And then I did that one at Long Jetty, and they all jumped up and down. And then from there on, they said, look, you should do Australiana. You're cut out for it. You've got the beard. You've got the...
You got the voice for it.
Yeah, you've got the Australiana voice. You should.
The enthusiasm as well, definitely.
Yeah, so from there on, I've started learning more. Now I do The Wild Colonial Boy. I do Botany Bay. And I do Only 19 and songs like that. I think it's
really good to have someone, especially locally, who does that genre of music, because the only way you're going to really get that now on is if you go out and buy, you know, John Williamson CD, or you go out and get some Dusty. You can't go, there's no live people doing it anymore.
Maybe it's dying. Out in the country, in the middle of New South Wales,
get main bands doing, you know, your general... pub set list. You got Akadaki, you got your Guns and Roses, you got you know, so on and so forth. There's no just good, yeah, chisels, yeah. Well, no one's doing just good old school acoustic.
No, that's
Australian.
Why I used to like Red Gum when they come out. You know, I've got a few other Red Gum songs I'm working on too. The Diamantina Driver, it's a lovely song.
It's really hard not to feel patriotic when you hear good Australiana as well. You know what
exactly.
I mean? It's the tone of the voice, it's the style of the guitaring, everything, and it really hits home and makes you go, oh, I love here, I love this, I love my country. Yes.
That's what you've said there, and other people have said. They said Australiana, the patriotism and the hitting of home, you know.
Yeah.
And it's Anzac.
It hits home with...
Mm.
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone. For Anzac, I do the band played Waltzing Matilda, and speaking of John Williamson before, I do the John Williamson cover, not the Eric Bagel. It's a little bit up-tempo, the John Williamson. So, you know, you got to choose this. There's songs that have been, well, that one hasn't, but like Botany Bay, it's been around for 100 and so many years, and so many people have done it.
So many different versions.
So you choose. Well, I do the Botany Bay one. I do John Williamson's Botany Bay cover too. The way he... Well, not exactly, but I've chosen his...
His rendition.
His rendition of
to
it.
To you base know. Yours off.
Yeah. Because he was a bit quicker. The band played Waltz. He's is a bit quicker than Eric Bagel. Eric Bagel's is, you know, he's a bit... Just a tab slower.
Also, speaking of Rolling Stones, we were talking about earlier... The Satisfaction. You'll find most people who cover Satisfaction will do the Rolling Stones cover.
Yeah.
Not the Otis Redding.
Exactly.
You know, it's definitely a preference that comes out of it. And I think it's testimony to say that even though the original artist of a song is not necessarily going to do the best version of that song.
Exactly. What I hear you 100%. I've heard people do a song, they are the original. Someone else brings a cover out, and you go to yourself, well, that sounds wonderful.
It's more of a version than a cover. It's a...
That sounds better, you know?
Yeah, their take on it.
Yeah. But they've had time to play with it, where the original has put it out, bang, there it is.
Yeah,
and someone's gone, oh, no, we can do this, we can do that, we can do that. It's been out for a little while, and they're going to try and make it better.
Well, that kind of... shows good songwriting when someone does a good version of another song.
Yeah,
The songwriting is there, like the core of the song is there, and you can turn it into anything you want.
But it also means the original. I mean, it's kind of like a half painted canvas. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's good. It's good enough to people to go, I really like that. I'd like to, you know.
The last song I've just learned is "Leaving on a Jet Plane," and that's a John Denver song, but. I like Peter, Paul and Mary's
version
of it, you know, they've
got... So the same one that, is it Aerosmith did?
I haven't heard it, so...
No? Okay, I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking Aerosmith because they sing it in Armageddon and his daughter's in Armageddon. Liv Tyler. Yeah, that's probably where I'm getting it from.
No, I don't know.
Yep.
You're on your own.
Yep, I'm on my way out of wings here.
Yeah.
All right, so...
I was going to ask, so other than Australiana, what's your favourite song to play?
I do 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do from early, very early 60s, actually. Doesn't Matter to Me by Buddy Holly, 1959. Probably wasn't a hit till the 60s, but till the... 1960, but I do some very, very early 60s, I do some mid 60s, late 60s, and a variety of 70s too. So it's basically that's what people like.
Yeah.
Any Ramones? Well, I found that.
Busking. Ramones.
Yeah, any Ramones?
No.
No Ramones.
Stones?
I do Stones. I do my talking about the Stones. Before I go any further, they were my favourite. They were still my favourite band, and they were my favourite band from the day I heard them. And they're still together.
They are.
And Keith Richards is still alive.
Yeah. Who knows how?
I don't know.
The day he dies is going to be.
It's going to be a big day.
It's going to be the same as when Chuck Norris dies.
There's a certain thing, I think it was on Facebook, said if you wanted, if someone was going to come into your living room and, you know, if you wanted a rock star or someone in your living room, who would you have? I reckon I'd have Jagger and Richards.
Yep.
I'd have Jagger and Richards in my living room.
I'd have a sit down and have a chat with them.
I'm going to try and snort my TV. That'd be the biggest problem.
Yeah. There'd be issues there, wouldn't there?
Oh, I'm sure you can sort
them. Tell us about your Hannah Montana guitar. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah,
we were talking about that
before we started recording.
Yeah. We wanted to save it for this. So.
Actually, I went there today. There was a fundraiser at the Coast Where Hotel, did you go? Budgie yeah. Woy. It could have been just over a year ago. It's for Peggy's Promise. They help old people and people who can't afford to look after their pets, or they might need vet treatment or something. And they're like a charity organisation like that. Anyway, they had a combi run. All the combis came to Coast Hotel Budgie Woy, and they had stalls and all sorts of things there. And they had that again today, but. Last time I went over a year ago, I'm walking along and I spots this Hannah Montana guitar, this purple guitar, you know. Yeah. It's like a mini Maiden. So I goes over and has a look at it, picks it up. It's got a string missing. The bridge is timber and there's timber on the fretboard. It's a bit faded and that. And I thought, geez, $5, I'm taking this home. $5.
$5.
$5. Oh, so I took it home, cleaned it all up. Put some strings on it, oiled up the neck, oiled up the bridge,
right.
And believe it or not, now I practice on that guitar because it's so little, it's and nice, like I'm nice sitting up my top room, and I've just got to, like, I try to learn everything before I pick the guitar up, so I've got it all in my head. Yeah. And then I pick the guitar up, and that's just a nice little guitar to have sitting there and pick up and play, you know.
How does
and
it play?
Did
it
I
play
say well? It was a Washburn?
No, you didn't. Now. Yeah,
it's a Washburn guitar for Disney. Yeah, it's a Washburn. It's actually a Washburn.
Well, they struck gold with that.
Yeah. And I've just got myself a pickup for, you know, you slide into the ear pole.
Yep.
I've just got myself one of them. And Kate, that I mentioned before from the Long Jetty Aper, might wants me to bring it down there.
I think you should. I think that would be phenomenal. Yeah,
you should play the Hannah Montana guitar while doing Australiana.
That would be amazing.
Doesn't make sense.
I should learn Wrecking Ball and do Wrecking Ball with it.
And shave half your head.
Yeah, no, the little pigtails, the two little buns.
Yeah.
That will get you one of those skin-coloured onesies. It'd be perfect.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I'm sure that would go down a treat.
So, where were you playing today?
I played outside Carl's Budgie today because I had to play at the Halekulani Hall for a birthday party, only for an hour, and then I had to go and do the fundraiser for Peggy's Promise at the Coast Hotel, as I was talking about before. So I didn't venture out. I just went down there.
So that's,
I did all right. I only played 2 hours this morning.
Kind of three gigs in one morning?
Yeah, kind of.
One busk, two gigs,
and now down here with you guys.
And
loving every second of it.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
it's got to feel good. Like, a couple of years... only a couple of years taking it serious, and you're getting busy.
Well, I'm sort of mainly been since maybe just before Christmas, where I started busking probably a couple of months before Christmas, and that's when it all started happening. That's when the tightness came in, a little bit tighter, and the fingers moved quicker, and then, like, I mean, I know about 24 songs, and... I mean, you're busking there, you'll do that 24 songs in an hour and a half.
You've
been there for 5 hours or so. I've got to do them three times over, you know. So and when I did start, I only had 15 songs, so 14 songs. So you can imagine me every three quarters of an hour, I'm doing the same song. So it's good for you, and the people don't know. They come and go in the cars.
Yeah, new people every
They're
time,
already owned so by you, them, you know, new people walking past. So good about busking, you can make a mistake. There's no one, and not everyone's sitting there watching you. You
but
know?
It's, I mean, it's totally common. I mean, we work in the city a lot, on job sites in the city, especially around Bondi. There's lots of buskers and stuff like that. And we're on a site for 12 hours. We hear buskers come down for 3 or 4 hours, and we hear the same song 7, 8 times. You know what I mean?
Like, they probably only know 10 songs.
Yeah, the younger kids that come down because they've got the cute factor.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They clean up. People give them heaps of money, and they know 3 or 4 songs. And we're poor us on the job site. You've got to listen to this cycle of songs all day. But it's definitely something you got to do, busking. You know what I mean?
Like, I was speaking to one fella, and he told me when he started busking, he only knew one song, and he played that same song over and over and over and over again. I mean, really? I couldn't do it. I go home, as I said before, I was doing about 14, 15 songs, and I've gone home, and I go, I'm sick of doing these songs. Like, by the time you keep doing every single day nearly, you know, 4 or 5 times.
It's good for you.
It's very, very good for you. But by the time, and then it gets that good for you that you go to yourself, like, you know, I need some new songs. So I go home. I was having a bit of an issue because I do 3 songs in one go. That was my problem. As I said early in the piece, I knew 30 half songs because I was my own worst enemy. I'd learn half a song. I couldn't get the voice range or something. I'll leave it. I'll get another one. And then I'd get the shit with that one and go and get on to the next one, you know. And then now I've got to do them all. There's the problem. I would have 3 songs sitting there. They'd be sitting on the ground, like, because I'd have to revise them. Most of my songs are all in my head. All my songs are all in my head. It's only the new ones I'm learning that I use a bit of paper till it's in my head completely, 100%, no hiccups, and then I don't use it anymore. But I've pulled back. I had three songs and I said to myself, you've got to choose one of these. They're all written out. They've all got the chords and I've worked on all of them. I said, nah, I'm only going to pick one of these songs. So I picked Leaving on a Jet Plane, which I mentioned before.
Yeah.
That's the latest one I'm doing now. Yeah. Well, I've still got to work on that last verse.
I've heard you play that a few times. I think I recorded you doing that once.
No, I think I've only done it at the Long Jetty Hotel.
The first time at the beach,
you
didn't? Or you no. talked about it?
I probably talked about it.
You talked about doing it, and then you probably...
It was one of me half songs.
Yeah, maybe.
I think every musician goes through that stage, though.
Of
doing half songs, of wanting to learn something, getting frustrated with it, and just moving on, and going to the next one, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I know, I've got a plethora of just riffs that I've learned from songs. I went through a year and a half where I'd hear a song and I go, I like that riff. I like that part of the song. So I just learned that part.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about the rest of it.
Yeah.
Because that's the only bit I liked out of the song. And I'm like, is memory bank of just, you know, 15 seconds of songs.
Of songs,
that I've never even bothered going back to or anything.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. But now it's time for me to put them together. Well, some of them, you know. I got a few. I've got a list. I got a list there of about 15 songs I want to learn, like all the songs that I've been doing a long time ago. You end up pulling another one out that isn't on the list and writing it down, you know. It's terrible. You don't stick to that list, you know. Like the last one, that wasn't on the list, Leaving on a Jet Plane.
Yeah.
And I've learnt The Whale. You know, Fielding and Dyer, 72, I think.
Yeah.
I've learned that, but I've learned it for my son's preschool.
Yep.
He's five and...
They sing along?
Well, they did. I went and done a thing there, and he brought his little ukulele, and he sat down next to me, and sat his ukulele on him, and he's playing the ukulele. And I had a week to learn it.
Yeah.
Because we're walking along the lake, and he says, "Oh, Poppy," I said, "I'm gonna sing a song about animals, The Drover's Dream." And I said, "It's got all these native animals in it." And he said, "Sing it." So I sang it to him down the lake as we're walking along. And he said, "Do you know any about sharks?" And I thought, "No." And a couple of minutes went past. I thought, "I know one about the whale."
Yeah,
And I didn't know the chords, and I didn't know. I only bits and pieces I could remember of things. And I said, "Oh no." He said, "Sing it." So I sang the little bits I knew and the day, you know. And he was rapt. He said, "Oh, the kids will love that. You got to learn that one."
Yeah.
So I went home and I learned it by the next Monday.
He
came to my place. He went home on the Sunday. Well, I had all week, and then he came back on Friday night, Saturday, and we're playing it and we're playing, and he's singing along. And at the preschool, I didn't realise, but the teacher took a video of it, and I didn't realise the work he'd put in. Because once I left the preschool, I went straight busk, and it wasn't until I got home that night and I sat down and I looked at the video.
Yeah.
And the work that little boy, 5 years old, put into that song is unbelievable. He'd sang the last word of each line.
Yeah.
And he'd bashing his foot like that in the day. Oops.
Don't hit the mic. No, I don't give a shit.
And I've learned that song for him.
There's nothing like a little kid telling you that you have to do something.
Yeah, now I've said, he said, you know, any other songs? Puff the Magic Dragon, you know?
Nothing like a promise to a little kid.
Yeah. So I'm doing Puff the Magic Dragon for him now. I've already written that out and got all the chords and everything. And
so you got a number one fan.
I got a number one fan. He's
you know what though? Like he's not allowed
into any any gigs. Yeah.
And I read up about.
He's going to remember you forever, though.
He is.
You know what I mean? Like this is a moment.
We are buddies. We spend a lot of time together, and he looks up to me a lot, actually, and that's good for me too. You know?
Yeah.
All right, so I think we're going to cut to a song right now.
Yeah, what would you like to play, Al?
I might, I'll play Poor Ned by Red Gum.
It
was my first one. I actually, when I did open mics, it was actually my very, very, very first song. I cut my teeth on up there on the open mics, and people said they liked it. And so that's what started the Australiana off.
I think it suits it. Cool. That's awesome.
Well, we'll record that
after we finish talking, and then we'll cut it in, so stick it in there. So, yeah.
Poor Ned, you're better off dead. At least you get some peace of mind. You're out on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high. ''1878 was a year I remember so well. Put my father in an early grave, slung my mother in jail. Well, I don't know what's right or wrong, but they hung Christ on nails. Six kids at home, two still on the breast, they wouldn't even give a bail. We sing poor Ned, you're better off dead, at least you get some peace of mind. You're out on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high. You know, I wrote a little about Springy Bark Creek, so they would understand. I might be a bushy ranger, but I'm not a murdering man. I didn't want to shoot Kennedy or that copper Lonigan. He alone could have saved his life by throwing down his gun. We sing poor Ned, you're better off dead, at least you get some peace of mind. You're out on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high. They took Ned Kelly, they hung him in the Melbourne jail. He fought so very bravely, dressed in iron mail. And no man single-handed can hope to break the bars. It's a thousand like Ned Kelly who'll hoist the flag of stars. We sing poor Ned, you're better off dead, at least you get some peace of mind. You're out on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high. We sing poor Ned, you're better off dead, at least you get some peace of mind. You're out on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high.
And that was poor Ned.
And that
by
was poor
Australiana Al.
That was great.
Is it Australiana Al or Al Australiana?
Australiana Al.
Yep.
Where's Aldo?
Aldo is an Italian name.
You Italian by
I
heritage?
I was born and bred in Australia, but I'm from Italian descent.
Oh, there you go. Mum's side, dad's side, both?
Both sides.
Both, oh.
I just like to say something. My mum's birthday will be on the 24th of April. Wish her happy birthday for her 94th birthday.
Wow. What's your mum's name?
Lena.
Lena. Happy birthday, Lena.
Happy birthday, Lena.
Going strong. Let's see another 10 out of you, right?
At least.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah.
At least. Oh, I hope I make it there.
Yeah.
Where were we? Where were we going to?
I can't remember what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, Aldo. So, Italian. Both parents are Italian.
Both parents Italian. They actually met and married in Australia.
Oh, well.
They met in Australia and married in Australia, yeah.
Were they both from, like, very, very Italian families, or...?
They were Italians, but
you have to meet a nice Italian girl, you know, those kind
of
families?
Yeah, well, that's sort of, you know, because they met and married here and... They were here a while, that tradition. That's more like the Italians that come from the lower part of Italy, like Calabria and places like that, more have that sort of
attitude.
I'm not
very geologically versed.
My dad comes from the sort of the middle of Italy, and my mum is right up the top near Switzerland, where they've all got blonde hair and blue eyes. I have blue eyes.
Yeah, I was going to say you don't look
and
particularly
my hair
Italian.
Was blonde before it
it's
before
super blonde
I aged
now.
It.
Yep. That's called wisdom right there.
It is. I like the color of it, but
definitely suits. When did they move here?
My dad moved here probably in 1940s.
Yeah.
My mum would have come here in 1950. Somewhere around there.
Their families move here as well?
Yeah, my dad's... my dad was one of nine brothers. And
sounds pretty Italian.
Well, they left Italy because there was no money there and it was just depression and all that. And three of them went to France, three went to America, and two came here.
Hmm.
Yeah, well.
So, yeah, so there, I've got a lot of relatives over in France and
you
America
keep up with
that
them,
I
or?
Don't even, yeah, I don't
they
keep
don't,
up.
Don't know.
No, uh-huh. I wouldn't have a clue. My dad passed away maybe 20-something years ago. He left. He had me late in life. He was 49 mm-hmm. when I was born. So he died at 83.
It's a trait you're continuing as well. You've got a young one, don't you? You were saying before?
A young...
A son,
you've
was
got
it?
A kid.
No, I have a son. My son is 30.
Oh, it was... Oh, it was
31. And my daughter's 33, but... It's the grandson I was telling you about.
Oh, the
my
grandson.
Son's
okay.
Son, which is five.
I was going to say, well, you're in your dad's footsteps if you've got a 5-year-old. But that
that's
was
right.
The
I have another grandchild in Sydney's birthday's next week, on Tuesday. Is he going to be 4 on Tuesday? We're going down there for the weekend next weekend.
School age, he's getting up there.
Yeah, getting there. They're getting. Oh, geez, I can remember when they were born. I remember when my kids were born. Time goes quick. Well.
So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Wetherill Park.
That's oh, really? Well,
back of Fairfield way.
Yeah, our factory's in Wetherill Park.
Is it?
Yeah, we go there very often.
When I was growing up there, it was all properties. It was all...
There's still a lot of land there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much. Like Newton Road was a dirt road.
There's a road there called Cow Pasture Road, I think.
Yeah, Cow Pasture Road. Yeah, that was a dirt bloody track when I was there just
well,
about.
It's aptly named because all up next to it's just a bunch of cow pastures still.
That's why they named it. When I was a kid, there was cow pastures everywhere. And it was named like Cow Pasture Road.
So have you ever lived... Because you...
But,
well, with your Australiana music, you've ever done... Have you lived west?
No. When we were kicking around as young areas, or just married, I was 21, and a mate of mine was playing The Drover's Dream, and I heard him play it a few times. It was Australia, and then Red Gum. Mm. Loved Red Gum. Loved the Australiana in Red Gum. There's some really nice Australian mm-hmm. songs. There's a lot of political stuff in there, but there's also some Australia stuff in there, you know. Yeah, and that's what's... Then I went to the open mics, played those two songs, and people said, you ought to stick to Australiana, and, well, it's gone from there. I've learned other songs, and...
It definitely suits.
They reckon it suits me. Look, I've got the beard. I've actually grown the beard.
For this purpose?
For
the purpose, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Like, I've always had one, but now I haven't cut it. I'm getting more bushy-like.
That's all right. You don't have to do anything about it.
Nah, it's easy to look after.
Yeah.
So what? How do your your kids come to your gigs?
They've come, but they don't come. They're pretty busy too, you know. And they're basically open mics and things like that I do. But they're pretty busy too. So my daughter lives in Prospect. So when she was living up here. She used to come to the Long Jetty Hotel and watch me do my stuff on stage. Yeah, she used to. My son's a bit like, you know, you never keep him down.
Yeah.
He's always, you know.
Go, go, go.
He's always out and gone and, you know. But he has come on a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
I'm more worried, you know, like, I was training up my grandsons into the... See if they can play guitar and...
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You know. That's good to see him. I bought, like, when Jake, the one I just he's 5, when he was 3, I bought him a ukulele because he's always seen me with a guitar, so I thought, I've got to get him.
Yeah.
You know. And then the other one, too, because he's a year younger, and I bought him one the following year. So he's got one. He's on his second one now. He smashed his first one up. But and yeah, I've got some really nice photos of them. Like they're like they look really, really good playing it. You know. Yeah.
Whereabouts are you living at the moment?
I'm living in Budgieway. I've been there well, be 20 years in September.
Yep. Oh, nice part of the world.
I'll be able to come a local in September. I'm a local. They reckon it takes 20 years.
After 20 years. Yeah. 20 years to be a local. Yeah.
And I said, come on, give me 10. They said, nah, 20.
Yep.
So I'm there.
Yep.
Finally.
Nice end of the world.
It's quiet up there. I mean, every place has its problems, no matter where you go.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. You know, yeah, you'll hear bad reports.
We play quite a few reports. Gigs there.
Yeah, we played at the Coast Hotel. Have you played at the Coast Hotel before?
I've played. I back roll again up there, not last Australia Day, but Australia Day before.
Yeah.
They were playing... It wasn't actually Australia Day, it was a couple of days before, and they were playing at the pub on a Sunday, Arvo. And they are a very good cover band, Roll Again. They I don't know if you... Sean Dunlop, he's in the Sea Gypsies now.
They're doing really, really well.
They're doing very well. They've just had a tour up the coast and back. But he's in Roll Again, and they asked me to open up with an Australiana set. And I only knew two songs, and I had to learn the other songs. And my it forced me, but my arm buggered up, and I had to get cortisone in here.
Oh,
yeah. And it buggered my arm up, and I had a month off, and then I didn't have enough time to learn the songs properly.
I was
so nervous, and so I like, got up and buggered things up and everything. Not like now, I've been busking and done those songs 100 million times over. I'm not nervous to go anywhere or do anything, you know. If someone said to me, oh, there's 100,000 people, you want to get up and play 3 or 4 songs, not a problem.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't worry me because it's like anything. If you know how to do something, you're right. You know, if you don't know how to do it, you're going to go, well, you know, the nerves are going to kick in.
So
that went all right. I had Eric helping me, the guy I mentioned before on the keys.
Yep.
He's helped me. I've got a guy down there at Longevity with spoons. He'll get on with the spoons.
Really? Yeah.
There's a bass.
I'll have to get down and record Andy something like that.
Yeah, Andy from Top Cat plays the bass as well. And he gets up sometimes with the bass as well.
Yeah, I've seen those guys, yeah.
There's people up there with harmonicas.
Oh,
actually,
awesome! Yeah,
2 times I was there, there was a fiddler.
Oh, that would have been.
Oh, with the Australiana, totally with the fiddle going, mate, he stole the show, and he could play anything. He was just sat there, and at all whatever he played with everybody, just sat there and played with everybody, and it sounded so nice.
Yeah,
yeah,
just an awesome player.
Casho said I should have got onto him and
done something.
Yeah. You know?
Like, do you have like a favorite gig you've played?
Oh, not really.
Anything that sticks in the memory?
Yeah, like just enjoyable.
Any moments?
Maybe like that one that I was telling you about that I was nervous about was probably my favorite one. You know, I enjoyed coming to the Beachy and playing there.
Yep.
But my favourite moment was because I was backing up a band, you know. I was getting on before a good rock and roll band, and they asked me to do, and there was people that come to see them, so I had a good audience, and they all clapped and everything, even though I made mistakes and things. Everyone enjoyed it. People said, you've done a really good job. You know, it's sometimes people don't know that you're buggering up. It's, you know yourself.
Yeah.
And some people are just, they don't know.
It's original music.
A little people tell me that. They said, don't worry, they don't know.
Yeah, they don't know. They didn't give a shit.
You know, they don't know. You know, because you're trying to do it a special way and you're trying to get it tight and you're trying to do this and all of a sudden you've put the wrong word in and you go, oh, bugger it, you know.
They don't even
know you put the wrong word. It still goes in tune and goes along, but it's just got the, instead of and, it's but, you
and
know.
And they just see your face just go.
Yeah. But that's probably the best one, you know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed just playing a couple of parties and things. There's people just acoustically without any PA or anything. I've done a couple of things like that and I enjoyed them. because the people liked it, and
yeah,
you know. But I'd say the one that sticks out would probably be the one at Coast Hotel, Budgie Woi.
Yeah, awesome.
Backing up Roll again. That
it's good place. It's a good venue.
It's got a good stage.
Do
you know
chill.
Gary Wallace? Do you?
Sorry?
From Tuesday nights here. There's an open mic on Tuesday night.
We played the
on a
of
Thursday. You would
yeah.
have played on the what's the, you know?
Oh, they
vibes.
Yeah.
Vibes.
Does Brendan Watson still
Brendan
do
Watson, yeah. 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 Shout out to Brendan Watson.
Yeah, Brendan, thanks for having us on so many times.
Media Radio, brought to you by Vibes.
Vibes.
He's a good fella, Brendan. I've met him only a couple of times.
So you say you you're no longer working, just busking, which is awesome. I mean, that's kind of everyone's dream, is just to play music and you don't have to work. What were you doing beforehand? What was your...
I've been a mechanic all my life since 2 days after I left school. I started at McGrath-Holden's Liverpool. I worked there for 6.5, near 7 years. I only had about a month off. Then I went started on forklifts.
Oh, yeah?
And I worked on forklifts at that same company for 5 odd years, and then I ended up having 2 3/4 years off.
Is there any main difference between the mechanics of a forklift and a petrol or diesel engine, except for the carbon residue,
yeah,
really?
A lot of forklifts run on gas. It's a lot cleaner burning because a lot of them are inside,
in factories.
So they've got to have clean burning, you know. We have diesel ones, we have petrol ones, we have gas ones, dual fuel ones. We have all sorts.
I'm not very mechanically minded, but I know the difference between, pardon me, if you check the oil on, say, in a regular car, you know, it's always black. You're always going to have black oil. You can put clear oil in, doesn't matter, it's going to end up black. But a gas engine, it stays the same color. There's no
like
carbon.
It's brand new, but don't be misled. The oil still wears down, and you still have to change it after. After like five, they measure hours.
Mm.
Say 200 hours,
yeah.
You change the oil. You'll pick up that dipstick like you said, and it'll look like the oil is
brand new.
Spanking new.
But it's
but
lost
the molecules and everything and the viscosity of the oil has changed, so you still need to change it. Yeah,
so
gas burns. That's why that gas burns very quickly, and they use the gas.
So it's more of a...
Very, very cleanly, sorry, not quickly.
So you've got to keep more an eye on how much you've used it rather than what the actual context of your engine is.
Yeah, you have a meter on an hour meter.
Yeah.
And it tells you when you start your thing or leave the ignition on. If you leave the ignition on by mistake, it's going to count the hours. But usually you're driving around, it'll count all the hours you're doing.
And you'd note the services...
Well, you have a sticker there that says service that
so
has been
hours,
and then you look and 200 hours or due for service in such and such, and then you know, then you
so
go and do
it.
That's what I used to do up till just before Christmas.
This Christmas.
Oh, well.
Yeah, right.
What got you into mechanics? Have you always been kind of like engineering minded, or
not really?
Was it just a job that you kind of fell into?
I was at high school. I was always been. Cabinet maker type stuff minded. That was always what was going down. And I'd put in for cabinet maker jobs. And a friend at high school, you should become a mechanic. You'll be able to fix your own car. You'll save this much money. You'll do this, you'll do that. And I'll put in for a mechanic's job. And the mechanics one come up. So I took it.
Bam.
And that was it.
That's the road I took from there
on. Are you a car guy? Like...
Yeah, I did.
You like your cars?
Yeah, I like my cars.
What would be your optimum car? Don't give me a new one. Give me something from
have at home.
Yeah?
An EH Holden in my mum's garage.
Restored or?
No, it doesn't need... it does need restore. It is 100% original.
Mm-hmm.
It's got about 43,000 miles on it.
That is.
It's all original.
Is it in miles?
In miles.
It's in miles, right.
In miles. Now... what you would have to do with that car now, it's been sitting in a garage like a house garage, not outside garage.
It's been protected.
Yes, but we're living up here. We have salt in the air.
Yeah.
All the bumper bars have got little dots on them.
Yeah.
Just little
dots? The paintworks are starting to get little dots on them. So someone who gets it has to...
grind it back, bog
strip
it.
Strip it down.
Yeah.
And no, not rust.
Yeah, because they're all chrome bumpers just, back then, were they?
Yep, chrome bumpers.
A bit of that
179. It is
that real fine steel wool.
You'd get it off, but it'd come back, and you'd still see that little tiny dot. To restore the car to a showroom EH, you would have to re-chrome the bumper bars and repaint the union. But if you got that EH off me, you've got perfectly straight EH.
Yeah, right.
Perfectly 100% EH.
Less than 100
A lot
Ks
of people
it,
go to,
Ks
they've got a lot of work before they get to re-chroming the bumper bars and painting the unit, you know?
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of work with the interior. This has got perfect interior.
Have you done any work on it with for yourself? Or is this...
Oh, I've put a clutch in it for me dad when he bought it brand new in February 64.
Mm-hmm.
And when he stopped driving because he got too old, he left it to me. I drove it around for a while. Man, I should have sold it. If I sold that car 30 years ago, I could have got 20 grand for it.
You sell it now, you probably get 30.
No.
You don't reckon?
No, they've dropped down, mate. All the
there's enthusiasts out there that would kiss
there is.
Ass
you
to get
it to the
car
right
in that
person.
Condition.
But what I'm saying is, say I got 15 for it now. I would have got 20 for it before.
And that 20 would have been
worth
20 now.
Mate, I could have bought a hell of a lot of stuff for 20 grand. Like, I moved up here 20 years ago, and I could have bought a two-bedroom old fibro rundown house for $63,000.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
before that house was only probably worth that 20.
Yeah.
You know, but now you can't go backwards. The end of the day, I've still got the EH.
That's right. Yeah,
exactly.
I'd love to see this one day. I mean, next time we do a gig out there, we might pull in and have a cup of coffee at your place.
Yeah. I haven't driven it for a while. I've put oil down the engine, turned the motor by hand. I took the spark plugs out, turned the motor.
Yeah, just wind it. Yeah.
So it keeps. It's got no battery in it, so it doesn't corrode the wiring and.
Sure.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the car. It's been sitting there. Yeah, I've got 7-inch cramies on it.
Yep.
7-inch.
Big cramies. They stuck out in the old KHs. They like you get your Commodore now. They're white and they're going inways. You can't tell. It's just a mag.
No,
these things sat out the 7 inches.
Well,
the
V dubs.
Yeah.
The V dubs are domes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, nice.
But yeah.
But obviously, you mustn't have fallen into the job without any. You clearly, you enjoy your cars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do you go to car shows?
I go. I like going to the, I like not so much the real old.
The hot rods, the ones they do.
I like the hot rods and
the
old Holdens and old cars like that. Not, T-model Fords or.
Oh, okay, yeah.
If I went to see a restored T-model in original condition, I wouldn't. Do anything for me, but if I went
car,
to see a bloody EH Holden or a HR or an FC or...
But these are cars from your childhood, you know what I mean?
They're
going to bring them right back.
They're from my childhood, they were...
I mean, do they have music at the car club things? They bring all the cars out,
that car thing at the entrance.
Yeah. They do.
Sure they,
have you ever
I'm
thought
sure
about
they
that?
Have it, some
no,
they, music
they
down
bring
there.
Down the hop sock, whatever they call them, that 55s music. That rocky, like the milkshake era.
Kind of like Bill
Milk
Haley in the comments.
American Graffiti.
Rock around the clock.
American Graffiti type stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I reckon, I think your act would go well at one of those. Especially if you're doing old Fords and stuff like that. Like, Australian iconic cars.
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon a bit of Australiana would fit
maybe
right
it
in
would,
there.
That rock and roll is just... Americana. It's
maybe
not Australiana.
It's
Americana.
That's Americana, basically.
Yeah,
That's Americana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
everything Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
everything
exactly. Yeah,
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. But I reckon you'd go all right. Australiana, yeah.
I reckon, if we get, let's open it for you. They're pop tops.
Sorry, we're just pointing out to each other that we all want beers.
Whoa!
There goes one.
We were trying to keep it off mic, but...
Well, I did.
Yeah, I was trying to keep it off mic.
We're having beers.
We're having beers.
Well, it's obvious now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go actually.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you...
carried on.
No, I'll carry it on. Yeah. I was going to ask, yeah, do you have any favourite local acts? Like the guys that go down
to the open mics
and that. Anyone that you actually stop and watch every time?
I have. Look, they're all good. I mean,
yeah.
You know, 95% of them are really good, and I like them all. 5% of them are terrible. I've been going for that.
Yeah.
That long that I like them all. You know, doing their open mic stuff. There's probably I did like Kate Kieran.
Yeah.
Because she played the whale ages ago, and she plays a few songs, like old songs, like Melanie Sabka, I Rode My Bicycle Past You.
Yeah.
That one, you know. That song, yeah. Stuff like that. And she's like, of course I'm old, they're from my era, so of course they're going to touch me, you know. And this is what I'm talking about while I play my busking. And I play 60s and 70s. I was laying in bed the other night and I was thinking, and I thought to myself, now, here's a song in the early 60s, all right, say 60, all right. So now that song is now 56 years old, right? So if a 76-year-old woman walks past, she was only 20 when that song came out. She is only 20,
yeah, wow, yeah. Right?
And if I do one in the 70s, she was 30. So I'm thinking to myself, no wonder these people are appreciating my music when they walk past. And I've got
70-year-olds, yeah.
80, 70, 90-year-old will pull up, open their purse, and put something in.
I'm a big fan of the saying, if a busker makes you stop and listen, or stop and watch, you owe him a dollar.
Yeah,
like you owe him a dollar. That's
yeah.
If you
yeah.
stop and you take a moment to enjoy
I
that,
I understand.
Like honestly, like
you should give him a buck.
You should give him a buck.
Well, that's what happens. What and there, I've I've had like that works out all the time. I've had mothers pull up, the kids are dancing, this and that, and look, they open up, and they give me money. It's very rare. You'll get a mother pull up, the kids will be dancing, having the best time of their life.
And then they'll
have their dance and then they'll walk off, you know.
No, because the kids love it too. If the mum gives the kids the money,
yes,
the kids get the money, the kids go put it in the hat, they put it in the guitar case, whatever, they love it. They absolutely love
it. They love it, that happens all the time. Yep. And I mean, if they seem like I go back to the same place once a week or something, and obviously people, like the first time they'll give you a bit, and then all of a sudden they'll give you a bit, like the mothers.
Mm.
But the kid's got to have something, like even if she gives him 20 cents, he doesn't know money.
He doesn't care.
He's come in and he's gone bang like that. And I don't know,
for
some
kid,
some buskers.
Doesn't matter if he's giving you 20 bucks, doesn't matter if he gives you 5 cents. To that kid, that's a moment, you know what I mean? And it's the same thing.
About the old people, I had an old lady and she would have been 85. For sure, and she stopped, and I think I was playing Botany Bay, Bound for Botany Bay,
yeah.
And she's pulled up, and she's looked at me, and she's got a purse out, and she fumbled for about half a minute, and she pulled out 10 cents and put it in my case, and I looked at her, and I thanked her very, very much. It's not how much they give you, like that.
It's the
that 90-year-old woman's probably been through 2 depressions, and that 10 cents is a lot of money to her.
Yeah.
And I appreciate, you know, if someone puts 5 cents, some people say, I haven't got any money, I'm sorry, mate. I say, mate, do you like the music? They say, I love the music. That's all I need.
That's all I need.
Yeah. I need. If you're telling me I sound good and you like my music, that's all I need. And that's why I was just telling you before about, like, Kate doing those old songs. Now I know how people feel when they walk past me and I'm doing an old song, you know?
Yeah,
no, it brings back the memories.
And especially the fact that she was fumbling for half a minute, like you said, like, you know, that's an effort.
Effort to get that out.
90-year-old woman,
and
like,
I
she went
appreciate
through an effort,
it, and I thank
I mean?
Everybody, and I actually sing, and I'll if someone bangs something goes in the case, there'll be a thank you, just one word instead
thanks,
of saying, you know, he came from heaven, he came from thank you, and then continue the song, you know. No, I thank every single person that puts money in my case. I put thank you into the song. I know some buskers, they don't, they just sit there and play and they don't.
They expect the money.
They expect it. They don't thank the person. Yeah. They don't acknowledge the person has put anything in, you know.
Yeah,
they might have a thank you on their case, I suppose it works, but
it's not the same.
They're not really looking at well, you. Well,
that 3-year-old kid is not going to read that thank you on the case. No. But if I stop and say thank you, well, that. And then they look at their mum, you know, and the mum looks at them like that, and you go, well, I've got them next time. Well, not that way, but you've done your job. You've made someone happy.
But kids are a fantastic way to monopolise on busking, like, absolutely.
They are.
If you want to get some money, the kids are
fantastic. They always get money off their parents. They love buskers.
We used
Can I give them a dollar?
We used to busk a lot in the city and in Cronulla with... a crew I used to dance with called Fly Crew. So we go down to Cronulla or in the city and we dance, basically for money. And the best way to wean money out of people is to get the kids in.
Exactly.
Get the kids into it. And the kids get the kids in and then they go back to their parents and they're looking at it like with their little, they've got their little palms out. We don't have to have our palms out anymore.
These
kids are doing it for us and they love it. They absolutely love it.
And then the parents don't say no to they hate like nah. like the kid they don't say no to they'd rather give them a dollar than say no and watch the kid. They just seen the kid have a good time. So and then the kid wants to. He's already happy. He's already come there to the mum and said, "Oh, look what's happened." And they're already smiling with their mum. You can't refuse. The parent can't refuse them.
And if you get one or two kids, the rest of the kids in the audience go, "I want to do what look
he
how
did.
Happy that kid is. Yeah. He gave them some money. I want to do it." So you just get this wonderful domino effect around the crowd.
Yeah.
Where you got all these beautiful little children running up, dropping money in.
Someone said to me. Apparently you go down behind Town Hall and there's this part where you get your busking thing for the day and then you can go busking for the day.
They sell it by the day now, do they?
But someone told me that you don't need a busking. If you're doing it on the main street, it says if you go into Pitt Street Mall and you go into the one of the things like that, you need a thing. But if you're just doing it in the main street, you don't. Apparently. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Just they'll take eyes out, them bastards.
Popped a bloody beer.
That was a beer bottle.
Yeah.
$80 for our busking license for the city.
For how long?
For a year. It's 12 months past, about $80.
Good. That's cheap.
To go down to Darling Harbour and bus, it was a considerable amount more.
Was it?
Yeah.
But isn't the place taken all down there?
We went down there one day to busk, and we just set up and started busking. And apparently, you're not allowed to do that. They've got like a raffle system, where you go down there as a busker, and all the buskers meet early in the morning, and they all put their names into like a jar, and someone will draw all the names out.
Yeah.
And you get like an order, and you get a certain amount of time allotted to you for each spot. And that's how they structure that.
Yeah.
It's not really first in, best dressed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of buskers there that want to obviously utilise that space because it's a high traffic area.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's a wonderful place for buskers. I mean, every time you go down to the city, there's always buskers there and they've all got, you know, amazing acts and stuff like that. So they've got to structure it somehow. But it's kind of beautiful in a way that this kind of gypsy feel about all these entertainers down there making their own buck, you know what I mean? Have made their own kind of communism.
Yeah,
Not in the Russian sense, as in just a community just within got their themselves.
Own system going,
got their own system, their own,
and
rules
it seems
and stuff.
To be working.
And we learnt very hard because we got yelled at
trying to jump into that.
Yeah, because we had no
world,
idea. Yeah, we were just like, oh, let's go
push
bust,
your way into.
Yeah, let's go bust down there because there's heaps of people down there. Yeah, and we got told off very severely. So sorry to those guys. Just
that's probably why I don't go down there and bother, mate. Because that's what I've heard. Everyone's got their spot. They'll tell you to move on. They'll do this.
I was gonna say it's not aggressive. It was when we went there, but I think it's just the matter of going down. Maybe spend a day, go down and ask.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, look, I want to come bust down here. And
I was speaking to
because you make a mint. Sydney's great for busking.
Thursday night, do you know Shane Shepherd?
No.
He plays, he's a local artist.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that you don't need a licence in the streets.
Yeah.
All right. And then I said, well, there's another thing. You know, a lot of them old buildings have got, like, instead of being straight to the front of the road, they go in a little bit.
Got a bit
like
of a niche
that.
There, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a door to get in it, but you've probably got from me to you, which is 6 foot. you could set up like the doors there, they splay out like that, you set up your case there and bust there, and then they can't move you on because you're on that person's property.
Private property.
It's got nothing to do with the council, so if someone trips over your case or, you know, public liability, they're not worried because it's not on their property, that's on his property, so now it's his problem, you know. But, yeah, I think, you know, Cache says to me, go down there, mate, you'll make a killing, you know, you'll make an absolute, I can't be bothered. Getting up in the morning, going all the way from the Central Coast to Sydney in the train.
Yeah, true.
And then going there, setting up, and then going, coming home, and then it becomes like a big day.
Yeah, it becomes
a big day, you know.
But it's
if you want to spend a good 6-7 hours actually playing,
I would spend 6 hours playing if I went down there non-stop and then come home.
Hour and a half, hour and 45 each way.
It's a 12-hour day. You know,
walking to the train station, and
you're looking at a 12-hour day.
Yeah,
you're looking at a 12-hour day. We're here, like wherever I'm probably the. I travel the furthest is half an hour.
I think that's a part of busking or part of any musician's or any entertainer's life that people don't see. Like, you know, if you have a trade, you get your apprenticeship, your first year, the first second you walk in that door and you got that job, you're earning money.
Yeah.
To be a musician or an entertainer, an actor, an actress, or you have to do countless amount of gigs and trekking around yourself, busking, you know, things like that. They're all things that you don't get paid for.
No.
Like, if you're really good, like, you know, if you're successful, you get paid busking, clearly, but
yeah,
you know, there's a lot that goes into being creative and being an entertainer that it's just self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people miss that.
But it's self-sacrifice. But
so we've got a helicopter coming
if
over.
If you're enjoying...
Oh, helicopter.
I was only 19.
All the Chinooks are coming.
Why the Channel 7 chopper chills me to my feet. Yeah.
That song still gives me goosebumps.
I don't know if people can hear that.
I get such a response from busking with that song that, like, usually people are putting in $5 notes with that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that song... I remember when I first discovered that song. I must have been about 16.
Mm.
And, I mean, I've never fought in any wars. I mean, I've never done anything really more violent than stubbing my toe on a coffee table. You know,
you play some pretty violent video games.
I play some video, but I can't really imagine what people have gone through there. But that song is so well written.
It is.
It chills you.
It does.
It really does. It's such an amazing song.
That's why it's made its way to where it is now. And
yeah, I mean, I'm still a young adult. I'm 27, and that's still one of my favourite songs.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if or when I have children, I mean, that's going to be one of their favourites. That song's
going
to last.
It's going to keep going.
Yeah.
It's one of those songs that are going to last and never die. You know, it's not a song that's going to be on the top 40 every day of the week all year round, but it's a song that just keeps going.
Everyone knows.
Stops and goes, you know, like you said, it brings a tear to your eye.
Was it the Vines that did a cover?
No, I haven't heard that, but
I think it was the Vines that did a cover. They did kind of like an Aussie hip hop version.
The Vines hip hop.
Was the Vines or the Verb?
The Vines were kind of.
I don't know. Look it up. Maybe I'm the Verb.
I'm just learning a song now.
Look it up, let me know if I'm...
Yeah, it's not an Australiana song in the sense of traditional Australiana, but it's a lot of Australia. And I don't know if we mentioned it earlier on the piece, but it's by Russell Morris. Okay. Now, Russell Morris used to sing Wings of an Eagle and The Real Thing and all these songs that everyone
knows. Oh, Come and See the Real Thing.
Yeah, but now he's in a band. He's got a band and he does Australian stuff. He's very successful.
Oh, The Herd. Sorry.
At the moment, you know.
But realize how wrong
he
I was.
Did a song in the early, in 60, probably 67. And the song's name's Rachel.
And
it's about, not too long ago, it's beautiful. You want to listen to it tonight, actually.
Yeah.
Just put it on YouTube, Rachel Russell Morris. Yeah, it's about a nurse who went to Vietnam.
Oh, I know.
And Kat couldn't sending the song's about it tells you about gather around Mars Knee to read this week's letters. I wonder what went wrong. I hope the news is better. And then it starts, it's like the letter being read out then.
It's from the other side of the
hospital has no door, Dad. Soldiers lay on the floor, Dad.
Yeah,
and it's all about a nurse who went to Vietnam and then come home. And I thought, I'm going to incorporate that into my Australiana. It's not traditional Australiana, but it's Australiana.
Yeah, you know. It is. And it's from the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
It's from the people that are affected at home. It's from the afterwards. It's
exactly.
You know, we all like, and not taking anything away from, obviously, the soldiers in the war, but everyone at home was affected as well.
Exactly. You know, we're all they're writing these songs about the soldiers and all the troubles and this one, like you said, is about the trouble the family goes through.
Yeah.
And we seem to
neglect
thinking about that. We're too busy thinking and feeling for the soldiers.
Which they totally deserve. You know,
Totally deserve, but there is a family back home
too. But there's a brother at home. There's a mother, there's a father.
Son.
Yeah.
You know?
That's losing
a daughter, whoever, but grandmothers, there's everything at home.
Yeah, well, just to clarify,
but it's a really nice song. I really love it. Yeah. I've just written the words out, actually, last night. Put the chords to it last night. Actually played it last night, but I didn't even think I was going to be playing busking today or going to do these two things I did, because after 15 and a half hours of busking between Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday last week, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, I started getting my wife's at home with the flu now, and I I got a sore throat and I couldn't sing. So yesterday, I just kept quiet all day, and even this morning I thought, I'm not going to be able to go and do this bloody birthday thing. And then I thought, I'll slip down in front of Carl's and do a busk and see if I can.
Yeah,
I'll just rock up there and see how I go. And then I went fine. It's all over now.
Just to pick up, I need to clarify my mistake before.
I usually hit, but
what's your mistake?
My mistake was, I said, want to say the vines? Or the verb? It's not. It's the herd.
The herd.
The herd.
Yeah.
I
did just have that.
A bit of an Aussie hip hop rendition. It came out maybe about 10 years ago.
Right.
They did Only 19, but in an updated
version.
Like hip hop.
An Aussie hip hop version.
Yeah.
It was good. I quite enjoyed it, and I really liked the fact that they were bringing that back into Cycled, you know what I mean? So
I might look that up on the YouTube tonight.
Well, that's what I'm just doing right now.
Yeah. It's a really good
what
version.
What is it, the herd?
The herd.
Yeah.
Herd, yeah.
I don't know if you can hear it.
You turn it up. It's going to sound like shit.
I did hear this, actually, yeah. I won't play the whole thing. I'll just
give it a sample. It's really good. Go and look it up. Yeah, you probably just pop it in later.
I'll just leave it like that.
Yeah.
I'm not
that's a sample from the song. But I mean, that was a really good way to bring that song back into the youth. You know, because it was 30 years or so before they released that version of it that it came out. So, you know, it's obviously peaked and it's come down. And there's certain kids my age and younger that would know of the song because of their parents. But that was a wonderful way to bring it back into circulation.
Exactly.
At the population. Yeah.
Just talking about hip-hop, at Mark Cashin's open mic night at Nora Head Sporties every Thursday night, there's a bloke, he's called Something Shady. It's not Slim Shady. He calls himself something Thin Shady or something.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Something like that. But he does it with back and track. He does two or three hip-hop songs that sound like that, you know, Eminem stuff, you know. And I thought to myself, geez, that's good to see. Like, even though to myself it's not my kettle of fish.
But it's
good to see someone there doing it, you know. It's like me doing Australian. I'm the only one that's doing Australian. He's the only one doing the hip-hop.
Yeah, that's his cup of tea.
That's his cup of tea.
Like, he's doing it well.
And he's coming each week and he's writing stuff himself and he's doing it.
You got to give him absolute props for getting up there. Like, even if no one in the crowd likes it, he's there doing it.
He's doing it. That was good.
If you can figure out
his name.
And
there was another bloke.
Remember
with
his name. We'll give him a shout-out because
We might get him on.
Might get him on. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
if we can get him on.
I'll I'll get your numbers.
Yep.
And I'll give it to him and get him to contact us and
that'd
tell
be great.
Him about
the, I love the idea of the underdog.
Yeah.
Getting the underdog on, give him a cue.
He's
all about.
He's good, he's good. I like his thing. I don't know if it was his daddy, it was with someone. I went over and talked to him, you know, and I said that was good, you know. I said it reminds me of like Elvis was a white man doing black man's
music,
And Eminem is a white man doing black man stuff. Eminem so much reminded me of Elvis, like not in the way he's saying anything, but
Eminem actually
a white man in a black man's jungle, you know.
Yeah, but except about the thing that you know where Elvis was totally manufactured by the government to make people forget about the Depression. He was the original boy band.
Who, Elvis?
Yeah.
He started off pretty
he never wrote a song himself.
No.
Do you know his first song?
He was a manufactured piece of
his first
junk.
Song I want to play.
In my opinion.
He's very 1954. That's all right.
Song?
That's all right, Mama, I think. That's all right, my mama. That's all right, my mama. That's all right for you. Yeah, first song he did.
It's not the first song he wrote.
I feel like he spearheaded the idea that music could be profited on rather than written for creativity. And that's probably my biggest problem with like the whole Elvis thing is he was the first like, oh, he's going to be a movie star now. Oh, he's going to be in everyone's lounge room in a poster now. It was definitely a profitable idea.
Yeah, but he was
something.
He did stand out.
He's a selling point for music. Yeah,
there was no one like him. No one could sing like him. He was a one-off person. It's like there's a lot of people all around the world trying to make it into the music industry. There's a lot of good people out there with really good voices, really good acts, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
It takes a person to be totally exceptional to make it bang just like that.
I don't even think you have to be exceptional. I think it's a right place, right time thing at the market now.
Maybe that's what Elvis had. Yeah,
yeah, it was definitely
the Beatles.
Right place, right
look
time.
At the Beatles.
Good looking bloke,
out.
Good voice. Guy could kind of act. You know, I mean, he was pounced on about you know by these producers, these you know, marketing people that just went, oh, we can sell the crap out
and
of you.
And he was a hillbilly.
Yeah, but look what it did to him.
From the south.
Yeah. From the south.
But, today's market is so many talented people. There are. There really is. And it's got to be right place, right time now, or you're not going to go anywhere. That's it. You got to just kind of keep doing it and hope maybe one day you'll be in the right place when someone sees you and goes, oh, I'm going to sell that.
Yeah.
But you're always going to be...
Well, that's for you young guys. That's
retail.
That's what you're looking for, you know? Like,
I think we're old enough now. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm 27 now, and I'd still love to get famous. But it's definitely not on my to-do list anymore.
Nah.
It was for years. I want to be that guy. But now it's just... I enjoy writing. I enjoy recording.
We started this thing just because we loved...
Just the fact that we
can hang out with some cool people and
this
have
is
a
great.
Beer.
We're having a chat, you ask questions,
you answer. You ask your mates, like, what did you do this Saturday night? Oh, we went out to the nightclub and we spent $400 and we all got, you know, on drugs. And
then they spent the rest of the next day in bed.
In bed, exactly.
Yeah,
like,
What did you do the next day?
We had a chat to a few different...
We got up at 5 o'clock in the other.
Yeah, what did you do this week? Oh, we sat around and had a chat with,
a few different local musicians
and we learnt a lot and, you know... And
we got a few different perspectives
on the stories
and...
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm saying that we are going to a party after
and
this.
And we are having a quiet beer. We're not having
a
disco beer.
We can have a disco beer if you want.
That being said, though, we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, I think we've been going for a while.
We've been going for like an hour.
Over an hour.
I want to thank you very much for asking me to come along. And
thank you for coming.
I've enjoyed myself immensely and talking about everything. Geez, you brought some memories back too.
That's good. That's what we need.
We'll definitely have you back. We'll definitely
good.
Back on. This is only the third episode of our podcast. And we're going to be doing many more, I think.
That'll be great.
Unless we
just become really lazy.
I wish us all the luck.
Even if we don't have any acts to interview. I think we'll just do podcasts where we just talk shit amongst ourselves.
Yeah, we'll really. Just drink yeah. and have just talk shit.
That'd be good.
Yeah. But thank you so much for coming in, Al. Look, yeah. it's been inspiring. Well,
thank you. Thank you for asking me.
You don't know when your next gig is?
I beg your pardon?
Your
next
gig.
Where your next gig is?
No, I no. probably, I do,
tomorrow
I do,
down at
I'm going down at Long Jetty Hotel.
So if you go, tomorrow, go down Long Jetty Hotel on Sundays, you're most likely to see her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not there every Sunday, but yeah, you're most,
yeah,
likely,
most
is,
likely to run into her.
I met a mate
don't
there.
Put it as an option. No, don't, not if you go, just go. Go
just
down
just
the Long
go
Jetty.
Down. Go
do
down
do yourselves Jetty. A favour, get down to the Long Jetty Hotel on Sundays between 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock because it is immensely awesome. There's a lot of musicians there and they'll get on and play with you. If you can't play an instrument and sing, get along anyway. There'll be someone there that'll be able to play that song that you want to sing.
I just want to say that we're brought to you by the Long Jetty Hotel.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to quit my job. We can just hire Al to talk now because you're doing that selling stuff perfectly.
Yeah.
I think it's from listening to Casho.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna lead out this.
Yeah, we're going to play one of your songs after this. What were we going to play?
We're going to do Porn Ed by Red Gum. It's the first one.
I think that was the first break.
We're no, Porn Ed was... We're going to play that before. And then we're going to play
you
something off
Botany
your...
The Driver's Dream.
We're going to play
driver's
something
dream.
Off your beachy performance.
Do the Driver's Dream.
Driver's Dream. All right, we'll do the Driver's Dream. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. If you made it this far, well done.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week with another podcast.
I think this has been the longest one we've done.
It's freaking huge.
Yeah.
I keep talking.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. We need
that's what my missus says. She says you got to shut up sometimes, mate. Give the other people a turn.
No, fuck them.
All right. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
See you later.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
See yous.
Catch you later.
Anyway, bye. Here we go. A bit of Australiano. This one's the Driver's Dream. It was written about 150 years ago by Henry Lawson. They put some music to it. Driver was driving. He fell asleep. He had this magnificent dream about all the Australian animals, native animals, and the boss woke him up at the end. It goes something like this. One night while driving sheep, me companions lay asleep. There wasn't a star to illuminate the sky. I was dreaming, I suppose, for my eyes were partly closed, and a very strange procession passed me by. First there came a kangaroo with his swagger blanket blue. A dingo ran beside him as his mate. They were travelling mighty fast, but they shouted as they passed, "We'll have to jog along, it's getting late." The pelican and the crane, they came in from out the plain, amused the company with a Highland blend. And the dear old bandicoot played a tune upon his flute. The native bear sat round him in a ring. The vulgar and the crow sang the songs from long ago. The frilled lizard listened with a smile. And the emu standing near put his paw up to his ear. Said that's the funniest thing for quite a while. The frogs from out the swamp where the atmosphere is damp came bouncing in and sat upon some stones. They all unroll this wax and produce from little bags the violin, the banjo and the bones. The goanna and the snake and the adder wide awake, alligator dance the soldier's joy. In the dreamy silky oak the jackass cracked the joke and the magpie sang to old colonial boy. From Wombat started out, from the tie trees all about, performed the said lances very well. The parrot green and blue gave the orchestra its cue, struck up the old log cabin in the dell. I was dreaming, I suppose, of these entertaining shows. Never crossed my mind I was asleep, till the boss beneath the cart woke me up with such a start. Yelling, dreamy, where the hell are all the sheep? Yelling, dreamy, where the hell are all the sheep? Yelling, dreamy, where the are all the sheep?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.